Living a life that depicts the teachings of Islam is the dream of every Muslim. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, is in collaboration with Muslim Public Affairs Center, NPAC. Everyday Muslim will address the misconceptions on Islam, foster a peaceful coexistence, and guide the everyday Muslim on the journey in Islam. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, simplified understanding of the deen.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. My name is Abdul Hakim Qasim and I welcome you to another edition of Everyday Muslim on Women Radio 91.7 FM. Today is Saturday, at the 16th of May 2026, corresponding to the 28th of Dhul Qa'dah, 1447 AH. It is the last Saturday of Dhul Qa'dah, which is the 11th month of the Hijrah year 1447 AH. Gradually, we are coming to the end of the year. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the gift of life and the gift of good health. We are just about 11 or 12 days to Eid al-Adha. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spare our lives to witness it and provide for us. On this program, Everyday Muslim, we try to address misconceptions about Islam, foster peaceful coexistence within the society, and guide the everyday Muslim on their journey in Islam. This is brought to you by the Muslim Public Affairs Center, MPAC, in partnership with the management of Women Radio 91.7 FM. Allah the Almighty, the Exalted, says in Glorious Quran, Quran chapter 4, verse 135, O you who believe, stand out firmly for justice as witnesses to Allah, even though it be against yourselves or your parents or your kith or kin, be he rich or poor, Allah is a better protector to both, than you. So follow not the lusts of your heart, lest you avoid justice. And if you distort your witness or refuse to give it, verily Allah is ever well acquainted with what you do. The program is streaming live on YouTube via the Women Radio page. Search Women Radio on YouTube. Click on the page to join in to view the studio live. Later on, the program will open our phone lines for you to call in and share your thoughts. The program again is Everyday Muslim and it is brought to you by the Muslim Public Affairs Center, MPAC, in partnership with Women Radio 91.7 FM. We also seek your sponsorship and advert placement on this program. We look up to you for your support and assistance today. I want to look at something very, very important and it has to do with our children. You know, today is 16th of May, although we are still some days away from the Children's Day, May 27th, and our children are regarded as the leaders of tomorrow. So in that regard, I want to take a look at little leaders, big impact. Little leaders, big impact. And inshallah, our guests today are students of Taqwa Schools. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
All right, very good. Okay, so it's a pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you.
So for those of us listening, when we hear the word leader, the image that often comes to our mind is that of, you know, presidents, governors, CEOs of companies, public figures, and the likes like that. But leadership is not only about age or position. Sometimes leadership begins with simple acts, speaking up for what is right, helping others, showing responsibility, or inspiring positive change. Young people today are not just preparing for the future. Many are already making a meaningful impact in their schools, in their homes, in their communities. So on today's edition of Everyday Muslim, we are speaking with bright young minds from Taqwa Schools who will share their thoughts, their experiences, their dreams and ideas about leadership, about responsibility and the future. So welcome you to the program. So like I said earlier, we are looking at little leaders, big impact, and our guests are students from Taqwa Schools. So before we begin, we'd like to know you better. So you would introduce yourselves by telling us your name, your class, your favorite subjects and one thing that you're passionate about. You know, people can be passionate about different things. Some are passionate about helping people. Some are passionate about, making impact in their community. Some are passionate about actually succeeding, you know. Or some are passionate about innovating, coming up with new things. So, you tell us your name, your class, your favorite subject, and one thing you're passionate about. Let me start from my right. So, yes.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
My name is Okikiola Muhammad Ghalib. I'm in GSS3 and...
Your favorite subject?
My favorite subject is mathematics, and the one thing I'm passionate about is football.
Wow, okay. That's your passion, yeah. Football. So, probably, before I move on, what club do you support?
I'm a proud supporter of Manchester United.
Proud supporter of Manchester United. But I hope you're not a Red Devil. All right, good. Yeah.
Okay, so my name is Olale Abdrahman, and I'm in SS2 right now. My favorite subjects are math and biology.
Okay, two of them.
Yes, the two of them.
Math and biology. Okay.
And I'm passionate about succeeding in the future, actually.
Okay, succeeding in the future. That's nice. Yes.
Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
My name is Sophia and I'm just one right now.
Just one?
Yes.
That's good. Okay.
My favorite subject is creative arts. I'm passionate about drawing.
Wow. So you like drawing?
Yes.
Okay. Have you been to an art gallery before?
Yes.
Okay. So, and you've seen, you know, some of the drawings, paintings and things that you have there.
Yes.
All right, good. And you hope... Are you thinking of probably having one of your own paintings too, or drawings
inshallah.
There or something? All right, inshallah. All right, good. My sister.
My name is Akingbolu Aliya.
Akingbolu
Aliya.
Okay.
And I'm in SS1.
SS1, okay.
My favorite subject is biology.
Biology, okay.
And I'm passionate about being successful and making my parents proud.
Being successful and making your parents proud. Good, good, good. All right, good. Then, let me start this way then. If your friends were to describe you in three words, what do you think they would say and why? Let me start with you, Okikiola.
If my friends were to describe me in three words, I would go with intelligent, accommodating, and friendly, mainly because of my passionate dedication to my studies and my friendliness towards them.
Okay, Abdurrahman.
Okay, indifferent, playful, and disciplined. Yes, and I think because I don't know, lately I've been a bit more playful than I used to be. So right now everyone sees me as playful, but they see me as a disciplined person in class, so that's it.
Okay, yeah.
For me, they will describe me as kind, smart, and thoughtful. My reason is because I'm thoughtful, because like if something's happening, I'll think about how people are going to feel if I say something and other thing.
All right, Aliya.
I think helpful, kind, and smart, because I'm mostly known among my friends for being very helpful with their studies.
Okay, good. Okay, so I'll switch over to this other side. I'll start from you, Sophia, again this time. All right, you know, people often say that children are the leaders of tomorrow. Do you believe young people can also lead today and not necessarily wait till tomorrow? And in what ways do you think young people can actually start leading right now and not wait until that particular future? Because let me make this on a lighter note. When we were young, we were told that we were the leaders of tomorrow. And at a point, we still discovered that those who actually ruled us, as at the time we were young, are still the ones probably still ruling us today. So people are like, if we are told that we're the leaders of tomorrow and that tomorrow for us has arrived and we are still not leading, those that ruled us yesterday are still the ones ruling us today. When will our tomorrow ever come? So now, and that's why people are saying, let's not think about tomorrow. Young people don't have to wait till that tomorrow before they start exhibiting leadership. So in what ways do you think young people can actually exhibit leadership right now or from today? Let me start from you, Sophia.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Technology. Like, there's this video I watched on YouTube. Like, there are these two children, SS3. So they were like, my teacher told me to redo my assignment because they thought I used AI. So they created this website that teachers can use to see whether they used AI, the exact prompt they use, and things like that. And it's really amazing.
Wow. Really amazing. Like, just like I said. So it means they are taking leadership, you know, allowing people to be able to detect if at all people are actually using AI for their assignments, and they're really not, you know, inserting their own personal thoughts and what have you to the assignment. Okay. So, Aliyah.
I believe we don't have to wait for our tomorrow to come to become leaders, because currently I think the youngest PhD holder is 13 or so. So I think if we just put in our best efforts and find opportunities, we can become leaders from today.
Okay. So, Abraham?
Well, I think we can be leaders from today by contributing to decisions made in classes and at home. Like, for taking me as an example, stuff don't happen at home without me knowing. So my decision is required to carry out that exact, like, decision or something like that. So
your input is needed.
Yes, it's needed. Yes, exactly. So we don't have to wait till tomorrow, because we can basically just start today and still make an impact from today.
Okay, got you.
Well, in my perspective, the young ones can't be the so-called leaders of tomorrow due to the fact that the old ones are still leading, and like you said, are still leading the various positions that they want to acquire. Mainly because of two main reasons. The old ones are, some of our leaders are too corrupt, power junk, to release their various positions out for the young ones. And are we, the young ones, are we really ready to accept those various positions? Because some of the young ones which have been offered those various positions have squandered it in the past. So the leaders are quite worried whether they should give us the young ones
The opportunity to. I like that. I like the perspective that I actually brought in. It shows that it takes two to tango. It's not enough. Well, we can blame our current leaders as much as we can to say that they've been ruling from since yesterday, and they're still ruling us today. And those of us that were claiming that these people are not letting us have the chance, are we also ready? For many young people that have actually even been given such opportunities, we have many young people that have actually been placed into positions of leadership in the last, let's say, in the last, 10 years. We've really not seen any meaningful impact that some of them have really, you know, exhibited with such positions that they've been given. So as much as we might say the leaders, those old people are not doing the needful, those of us that are young will also have our own share of the blame. So, and I love that we are able to balance, these ideas. All right. So, now, so let's look at it this way, because leadership is not just something that we theorize. It's not just about an idea. It's also something that is pragmatic, something that is practical, that we can all see. So, in this case, now I want you to reflect so that you can actually share a moment when you actually helped to solve a problem, or supported someone, or stood up for what was right, because you feel like it doesn't have to take probably the political leader or the head of state or the governor to actually do this. I, within my own sphere of influence, within my own area here, or whether it's in the school, in my house, or in my community, has there been any do you have any experience trying to address a problem, solving a particular problem, or supporting someone, or standing up for what you think is the right thing to be done? So who want to go first? Okay, let me start with Abraham.
Okay, so I recall one of my friends, she had a problem with her classmates.
Okay.
So she was different in a way, but people didn't want to accept her for who she was.
Okay.
So they usually just like, not that they bully her, but like she doesn't feel among. Then at times, since we've known each other since primary school, so we just talk together. And the thing is, starting from primary school, I didn't really like long gists, but you just had to put up with it. So yes, you have put up with the gist with her. And then at the end of the conversation, she ended up smiling, and then I just felt this happiness, like, okay, yes, I have put something, I accomplished something. Yes. So it made me fulfilled. So like, I'm like, if everyone can do that same kind of thing,
tolerate people,
yes,
and try to relate with
people,
them,
yes,
to understand who they are. Don't just judge them from afar, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Alhamdulillah, she's smiling every day now.
Alhamdulillah. Okay, so got it.
Well, prior to what my senior Abdulama actually said, but one is in a boyfriend. They had, one of my friends and another one of my friends had a verbal argument which led to physical. And I was thinking whether I should intervene because I might get into the contact.
You don't want to come in the line of fire.
As we are now exchanging blows, fortunately, I intervened and I only sustained like a scratch or two.
Okay.
So after that, I felt like a change maker and therefore started telling them to stop fighting and all that.
Mm, I love that. That's good. Blessed are the peacemakers. All right, good. So it's good to be a peacemaker, at least. All right, so, Sophia.
Okay, so, like, at the beginning of the term, when everybody was still knowing each other, there's this girl in my class. Right now, she's very popular. She's good with everybody. But before, people were just, like, avoiding her. I don't know the reason. And then they were calling her a psychopath, stuff, and I just didn't like it. So I just started being her friend since she didn't have anyone.
Hmm.
And then from there, she started getting close to me. She started relating with people. And then now, she's friends with them.
Alhamdulillah. Good. All right, Alia.
I remember when I was writing my GS3 exam, I had a classmate. She was unsure. She was feeling overwhelmed and stuff that she's going to fail her NECO and stuff. And then she started crying. And then I stood up and I went to her and told her that it's not possible that we've been together since primary school. And I know she's not that...
She's not a dullard.
She's not a dullard. So even if she does not do very well, she's going to pass. And that made her feel encouraged. That made me feel good about myself for encouraging her.
I love these experiences. It shows quite well that we don't have to wait till we get to the top before we can actually make impact. The reality is, people might forget what you said, they might forget what you did, but they'll never forget how you made them feel. So it's always good to make people feel good, feel better, and be add value to the lives of people. And that's one of the hallmarks of leadership. All right, good. Now, in this case, I know that you might have been aware that, you know, I know, for example, in Lagos State, they have this spelling bee competition, and whoever wins, get to be
the governor
of the, one day governor and things like that. Now, that's one day governor. Let's leave one day governor. No, you are all students of Takwa schools. Now, imagine that you now have the opportunity of being made a principal for 1 week. Say, okay, you are a principal for 1 week. Even if 1 week is too much, 1 day. So whether 1 day or 1 week. So if you had that opportunity of being a principal of your school or any school whatsoever like that, what will be the first thing? What change would you make? And why do you think that is important? So, okay, I think I have gone wrong. Okay, should I start with you? I should not start with you. Okay, let me start with Alia then.
If I was principal for 1 day in my school, I'll make sure that on a normal day in Nigeria, we go to schools to learn basic academic stuff like all our subjects, biology, uh-huh, English, math. But if I was a principal, I'll focus more on real life learning, like focusing on the main world to prepare students to be better leaders in the real life world, not just within the four corners of school. Like real life training on like how to handle a business, for example,
okay,
or how to be a productive member in society.
Okay, so you focus more on practical life skills.
Yes.
And not necessarily academic subjects. Wow, that's another perspective, because a lot of times all these idea of just math, English, physics, chemistry, biology and the likes like that, you know, often gets us carried away from the realities of the world we live in and how we can actually make, you know, more meaningful impact. All right, okay, let me come to Ghali, then I'll go to you know, Sophia, then I'll come back to Abdama.
I was made the principal for one day in my school. As you know, I'm a sports person, so I'll increase the length of the sports period so that we can fundamentally improve our sporting activities, because in my perspective, we are not really
doing enough
exposing our potential in sports activities. We are mainly based on academic activities. So that's what I
would do if I was principal for one day. Hello. Hello. All right. So sporting activities. Well, I hope when we talk about sporting activities, your attention is not just on football.
No.
Okay. So we just need to clarify that, because for a lot of people, when you say sport, if it's not football, then what sport are you talking about? But then, so talking about potentials, yeah, it's good. And it's not just about academics that we should focus on. All right. So this is just to tell you that it's not yet time for us to call it. We'll still open our phone lines when it's time. But right now, we want to still, you know, enjoy our interaction with our young leaders that we have in the house here. All right. So, Sophia.
So prior to what Nialia said, I like that hands-on experience. Like, how would you feel if you spent like 10 years in school learning medicine, and then once you get out, you're looking for a job, and then you find out that you've been replaced by AI?
Wow.
So I prefer, like when I make principal, I'm going to bring teachers to teach people AI and how to use it very well.
Artificial intelligence and how we can actually use that to enhance whatever we are learning and whatever we are doing. So that at the end of the day, because I love that angle, and that's about the fact that we must anticipate change and we must also work with changes going on around us, else we get overtaken by change. So AI has come, and it has come to stay. So it's not for us to actually be afraid of AI, but it's for us to actually accept it, adopt it, and adapt it to suit our needs, so we don't get to become slaves of AI, but then we turn AI to actually a tool for us to achieve what we want. So infusing AI into our learning, that's what you would do. I love that. So Drama.
So, well, if I was to be principal for one day, although that one day might be a bit small for the kind of plans I have.
Okay, 1 week.
So let's see, 1 week. So yeah. I would actually just petition to expand the school. So like, the school is relatively average. It's not like the size isn't a small school, and okay, isn't a relatively large school. So I would just like, maybe we can expand the school for the benefit of the students and the environment, because by the time we have more space, sometimes children need a wide space to actually socialize, have fun and do other things. And also the fact that we need more trees in the state, especially Lagos state especially.
Exactly. Okay, so tree planting.
Yes, tree planting actually. So a wider space will actually promote tree planting, interactions and health benefits also, because when there's trees, fresh air,
yeah,
everyone's going to be fine, and that's it.
Well, that's a big challenge, and I hope even the government is listening. Two administrations ago, we had a governor that was aggressive in terms of tree planting and, you know, environmental conservation. And that was Babatunde Rajefashola. But then, over time, we've seen that people are just cutting trees, and unfortunately, a lot of people around us don't understand the importance of having this. Because having trees, it's a symbiotic relationship with the environment. As humans, we need oxygen. We give out carbon dioxide, carbon dioxide, CO2. These trees need carbon dioxide and they give us oxygen. So at the end of the day, we're shooting ourselves in the foot if at the end of the day we decide to just cut these trees. So, and now everybody's talking about heat every now and then, this and that. Because where is the green vegetation for us to actually have that, you know, balance in the ecosystem? But a lot of people are not seeing it that way. All right, so very quickly, I want to give this question before we go on a break. And that is the fact that, what would you consider to be a challenge of young people of your age today? What do you think is one major challenge affecting, you know, young people of your age today? Let me start with Galit.
Very simply, technology and AI.
Technology
to
and
be
AI.
Honest, I'm not actually saying AI is bad, but some of the students use it negatively and it affects them horribly in their academic studies. So, okay. If I felt like, I would feel like some people need to be educated on the good things they can actually do on AI, with AI, than all the bad things that they're doing with AI and technology. Many people are on social media. I myself, I'm not saying I'm exempted. I'm also on social media, but I'm not outward like that. I only do it once in a time. But some people, they use it as possibly as any time they can. And that is affecting them gravely.
It's affecting their time management, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. So, Abraham?
Let me see. Okay. People my age are worrying about their future. So, it gets to that age, I think 15, 16, 17, you start worrying about your future. So, like, everyone is like, I want to make money. okay, when I get married, this and that, in the future, I'm going to have this. So, like, it's
different things, different thoughts.
It's shifting their attention away from what they are to face right now. Of course, yes, you have to think about the future because it contributes to personal growth.
Yeah.
But it gets to an extent where it's too much. So you just have to balance it.
So you need to calm down.
Yes, you need to calm down. You just calm down.
So it's natural for them to kind of like feel concerned about their future. But at the same time, they should not allow that to overwhelm them, right?
Yes.
Good. Okay, so Sophia.
Also technology.
Technology?
It depends on how they use it.
Okay.
Like, it can be a great tool and it can be a great distraction. Depends on how you use it.
Okay.
Like, for me, like, my mom makes me and my brother use technology, like, only on weekends. That's after we finish everything we're supposed to do.
Okay.
And I also think, like, they should block all these bad websites, like pornography, and the TikTok, Snapchat, Instagram, like there should be a special part of it for children that they can only talk with children their age.
Okay. Because people get involved in some of these challenges and all the negative things that are even detrimental to their health. Yeah. All right. So, Aliyah.
Technology and the internet. So.
All right.
It's a major distraction for students of our age. We don't even have the motivation
to learn again.
If you have phone, everything, watch YouTube, watch TikTok. That's the only thing that comes to our mind.
Just scrolling.
People of before, when they didn't have smartphones and stuff, if they are bored, go outside, play with their friends. But now,
socialize,
children, they just stay inside.
Everyone
with
is
their
indoor.
Phone.
Gadgets.
They don't even read. So I feel technology and gadgets are the major distraction of students.
All right, the program is still Everyday Muslim on Women Radio 91.7 FM. We'll go on a short break. When we return, the program continues. Please stay with us. Thank you. You're still listening to Everyday Muslim on Women Radio 91.7 FM, and it is brought to you by the Muslim Public Affairs Center, MPAC, a partnership with the management of Women Radio 91.7 FM. Today we are discussing Little Leaders, Big Impact, and our guests are students of Takwa Schools, Lagos. So you can be a part of this discuss by calling the number 07000-917-917. For our female callers, you can use our toll-free line 0800-1235-917. You can also send a message to us via SMS or WhatsApp on the number 08155-917-917. That is 08155-917-917. So the program, like I said, is brought to you by the Muslim Public Affairs Center, MPAC, in partnership with the management of Women Radio 91.7 FM. We are seeking your sponsorship and our placement to keep this program going. So we look up to you for your support and assistance. I'm sure you will never regret doing so. So your products, your services, you want to bring it to the awareness of the general public, the floor is open. So we are open to doing business with you. All right, so the program is streaming live on YouTube via the Women Radio page. Search Women Radio on YouTube. Click on the page to join in to view the studio live and to also send in your comments. So, we have a caller on the line. Hello?
Hello. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Yeah, I'm calling from Lagos. I am a parent. And my name is Engineer Abidim.
All right. Alhamdulillah. You're welcome. So let's have your comments.
Yeah, I really want to commend this program. And it's quite impressive. The students have really done well. In fact, I'm impressed that we have students that can still relay their experience, their opinions about things naturally. It's quite impressive. I really want to commend the host, the teachers, the staff, and everything around it. Yeah, going to one of the discussions we've had in this film about leaders, the young ones being the leaders of tomorrow.
Yes.
I want to ask them something which I want to have their opinion about it.
Okay.
Now, it's been identified that the leaders are not, based on what they said, the leaders are not really willing to relinquish power to the younger ones.
Yes.
However, the younger ones are the ones that are supposed to stand up and take these themselves.
Yes.
So I want to ask a question. What are the things to be put in place the younger ones are doing? How do they want to convince we, the leaders of today, that, okay, they can actually handle this?
Okay.
You know, we need to be convinced,
yeah,
beyond doubt that, okay, if they are given this opportunity, like one of them said, that, oh, they will squander it, they will abuse it, they will misuse the opportunity. What are the things that will be convincingly to the present leaders that, okay, if we have this given to them, they will definitely do it very well.
Okay.
So let's hear from the students in the studio.
I like that. All right, thank you. So I would allow them to respond, sir. All right, thank you, sir. Okay, you had the question?
All right, thank you.
Yeah. Okay, so what he said was that, you know, earlier on we said the current leaders are not ready to give up power. They are not ready to allow the young ones to come in. But at the same time, like Ghali also said, that even the young ones today are also probably not ready to actually take up leadership. And for some of them that have been given opportunity, they've actually, bastardized the opportunities. They've really not, done well with the opportunities that they've been given. So that now, what do you guys think that you can do that will be convincing enough for the current crop of leaders to say, let's allow these people the opportunity, let's also give them a chance? So Abdurrahman, let me allow you to we'll senior here.
Well, I think children, youth generally, we should also take up responsibilities in other aspects. So the more we try our best to be responsible and take up leadership actions in some sectors, it's going to a point where, of course, we'll be noticed.
Mm-hmm.
Our strike will be noticed, how well we've been doing, our contributions and everything we've done will be noticed. And hopefully, we will make a change and an impact on the ideas of those in power. And yes, they will consider us in their ideas.
Anyone else to add to that? Yes. Okay. All right. Good. Now, what that is saying, just like what Abdurrahman is trying to say is that you don't have to wait for that top leadership position. Wherever you are now, the young people, do things that are within your sphere of influence. Imagine that you're a senior prefect of a school. Do well, lead well, and people will notice what you're able to do. You're a young person within your community. There are challenges within the community. Imagine young people gathering themselves together, just saying, see, the Lagos government has just returned the environmental sanitation, the monthly environmental sanitation. Okay, can we gather the young people in this community? Say, let us clear the drainages on our own, without having to wait for government or anybody to tell us what to do. If we're able to do that, say, wow, who told these people to do this? Before you know it, as you're doing some of those positive things, gradually people will notice what you're doing. And before you know it, when some opportunities come, say, let's try them. Okay, even if I can't make this person commissioner, let me make this person special advisor. Let me make this person a personal assistant on youth matters, on community affairs, on, civic engagement, things like that. So, and when you have such little opportunities, prove your worth, do it well, and people would like, this guy can do it. Zora Mamdani is the mayor of New York today, a young guy, but he started as a member of an assembly. And within that, within just that opportunity, he showed what leadership is about. And he exhibited that even against all odds, with all the money bags, he was able to defeat them because he was able to speak to the realities of everyday New Yorker. So we're also saying that even for the young people within your community, address issues within your community, in your school, in your house, in your, streets, where you stay. Do something positive and people will get to see the impact. And when they see the impact, they feel that confidence that we can entrust this person with, leadership position. And I believe that the young people are listening. All right. Okay. So earlier we talked about the challenges, and a lot of you quite agree that, technology, the internet, social media, and the likes like that. Now, social media, plays a big role in the lives of young people. So, right now, would you say it is helping the young generation grow, or is actually more of a distraction? Social media, what do you have to say? Aliyah.
Although we have people that are growing with, youth that are growing with social media, I'll go with it is more of a distraction. Because we have a larger percentage of people who are using social media for the wrong things than the people who are making good use of it.
Okay.
If we check now, people that are making good use of it, they are not really much like that. And what they are using it for is very impactful. Mm. But people who are using it for otherwise are much more than them. They use it to dance, talk to people they are not meant to talk to, view things they are not meant to view. So I think it is more of a distraction.
All right, Galip.
So, like I said before, it depends on how they use it.
We understand. But it depends. The question is it allowing your generation to grow better, or is it actually more of a distraction?
It's actually more of a distraction, but you can't put on all the blame on the people doing the social media, because the people that are viewing them, larger percentage view things that are not really nice, and the smaller percentage view things that are actually educational, help them. So I think that's the problem with the youths, because they go for things that are not really benefiting them, while the things that actually benefit them, they neglect them and thereby affect them negatively.
Okay, so Sophia.
I think it helps our generation grow.
You believe it helps your generation grow?
Yes.
In what ways?
Like Islam. Right now, I search for things like Visual Dean on YouTube. Visual Dean, Brother Akib Official. And then you can influence your friends to watch them too, like once or twice, and then they might stick to it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like, Shaitan makes sin look beautiful. He can't make hell look beautiful, but he can make the path that leads us there very beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all you need is just like a little motivation, and you can change your path.
Mm-hmm. All right, Abdurrahman.
So I think it's a distraction to those who can't handle it wisely, and it's a tool who know how to use it. So those who can't use it wisely just need more enlightenment. They need more information on how to use it, because I can't say it hasn't benefited me. I can't say it has benefited any of us here. Of course, it has benefits, but for everything which has benefits, it of course has its advantage. So now you just have to balance and bridge the advantage and disadvantage.
All right, that's good. Now, for leaders, a lot of leaders, even that we have in the world today, they always have someone who inspired them one way or the other. So even for us today, there are people that we look up to and say, wow, this is my model, this is my inspiration. So who inspires you the most as a young leader, and what lessons have you learned from them? Who's going first? Okay, Aliyah.
The person that inspires me the most is my cousin. Yes.
Your cousin?
Yes.
Mm. Who's that?
Abdurrahman.
Wow.
Because, like, I look at him and be like, this, like, how can someone be so, like, disciplined? But like, I'm smart. I am. But like, I'm not as smart as him. Cause I can say I got like, let's say my lowest score in my exam is like 51, and he comes and says his own lowest score is 58. And I'm like, how? Cause like, he's so disciplined. I'm smart, but all I can learn from him, all I want to learn from him is his discipline, how he avoid distractions, because my problem is distractions. I have a lot of distractions. So what I want to learn from him is discipline, because he's very disciplined.
So he is your inspiration.
Yes.
He inspires you. Right.
Yes.
Okay. So, Sophia.
My role model is my father.
Your father?
Yes, I'm daddy's girl.
Your daddy's girl. Wow. That's nice.
Thing I really want to learn from my dad is how to be calm. Like, he's really calm. Like, me and my brother, we will just be annoying him for no reason, and then he'll just look at us and we're not to say anything. But if it was me in that situation, I would have shouted, I would have beaten them, so done something like that.
But you also appear calm
sometimes.
okay, that's nice. So as leaders, we need to be calm regardless of situation, so that even when things seem, wow, that's trouble, if you're not calm, you won't understand the situation, you won't know how best to handle it. Wow, calmness. I hope I can be calm like your dad then. All right, so, Ghalib.
Anytime I'm asked this question, I always go with, Fernandez. Because he's a Manchester United attacking midfielder. And you know.
Hey?
Am I a fan?
I don't need to be a Man U fan to know Bruno Fernandes, but then continue, don't worry.
So,
what exactly inspires you in Bruno Fernandes?
Most times I watch him play ball, and he makes passes that destroy the other team's defense. And I wonder, how does he see those passes? Because I'll be in the same position and I'll not see anything.
Also play football?
Yes. And I'll not say anything. I'll just keep moving and moving. But he will make passes that I'll be wondering, does he have the aerial view from his guy? Because it's difficult. So that's basically I'm trying to emulate football-wise.
Football-wise. Okay. Beyond football, do you have any other person that inspires?
Benjamin Carson.
Ben Carson. Man that wrote Think Big.
Yes.
The big picture.
Aside from by me aspiring to be a footballer, I also want to go to surgeon. I also want to be a surgeon, but a neurosurgeon like him, because I've read his autobiography, and it actually inspired me, and the way he deals with horrible things that come to towards his way, because when I read his book, I was like 9 or 10. I really didn't understand what he was saying, so I had to take one big dictionary and I'll be looking for the words as I was reading. So that's actually the person that inspired me education-wise.
Okay. All right. Good. Yeah, Abdurrahman.
I guess I also have to go sports-wise and educational-wise, because...
Speak loud.
Sports-wise, I have to go with Cooper Flagg. He's a basketballer playing for Mavericks. He's young.
Dallas Mavericks.
Yes, Dallas Mavericks. So he's young. He got drafted last year, I think. Yes, last year. But I haven't been able to watch NBA that much. Mm. But at his young age, he's carrying the team. Although he didn't do it alone, but he's making a difference where he is. He's making sure that he is seen. He's been... He won Rookie of the Year.
Mm.
So to show how good and how much impact he made. Then educational-wise, I would say... My mom. So the thing is, my mom is kind, calm, but fierce. God, I got flogged. She was the kind where, of course, you play with her, she smiles. But to get to a point where you do the wrong thing, you get flogged. So you have to be disciplined. So she instilled that discipline in me, and yes, I have it till now, and I'm proud of it.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Now, it's good that we are saying this, because it is necessary that as young people, we are asking some of these, this question about who our role models are. But then, because we are Muslims, we also need to understand that we also have lots of role models in Islam, that if probably we can take our time to also read about them, then find out that we have so many things to learn about them. Let me just say this. The children and teenagers around Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam played real roles in the early Muslim community, not just as kids in the background. They are often used as examples for young Muslims today because they showed leadership, courage, and responsibility at a young age. Here are a few examples. Ali ibn Abi Talib, the first male to accept Islam, 10 years old. He was raised in the Prophet's household. Ali was the first male to accept Islam. He later slept in the Prophet's bed during the Hijrah to deceive the Quraysh assassins, you know, risking his life. Now, what lesson do we have to learn here? Early commitment and loyalty. Here's an example of growing up with responsibility and moral courage. We have Anas bin Malik, the Prophet's young aide and student. He was 10 when he started serving the Prophet. He served him for 10 years. He narrated over 2,000 hadith. The Prophet made dua for him to have long life, wealth, and children. Here, we learn consistency and being close to knowledge. Youth can become major transmitters of the sunnah through service and learning. We also have Abdullah ibn Abbas, the young scholar. He was 13 when the Prophet ﷺ died. Now, he was known as the interpreter of the Quran. The Prophet made dua, O Allah, give him understanding of the religion and teach him interpretation. He became one of the greatest scholars of tafsir and fiqh. Now, the lesson we can learn here is youth and scholarship aren't mutually exclusive. Dedicating yourself to knowledge early pays off. So it is clear from these noble examples, and there are many more that we can't mention today, who have led with sterling qualities that the Prophet ﷺ nurtured them as young leaders. This for us as adults is a lesson that responsibility wasn't age-gated. The Prophet gave real roles to youth, leading armies, carrying messages, making hijrah. Secondly, tarbiyah, which is nurturing, training through involvement. They weren't kept on the sidelines. They were taught, tested, and trusted. So thirdly, we should not forget that in spite of the age we live in and the great expectations and our desires as parents and tutors, they are still children, playing, learning, making mistakes. There are children that are encouraged and supported to contribute. So a common takeaway for Islamic youth programs today, give young people real responsibilities with guidance, not just lectures. The model from the Prophet's time was mentorship, trust, and action. So we can see that as we are young too, we have examples from our forebears who are Muslims. On a final note, imagine Nigeria 20 years from now. What kind of country would you love to see, and what role do you hope to play in it? Very quickly. So let me start with Abdurrahman.
Change Nigeria, that's what I can say. Because Nigeria of then, Nigeria of now, Nigeria of tomorrow. I'm expecting Nigeria of tomorrow to be better than Nigeria of then.
Okay.
Because the Nigeria of now is not...
Let's leave Nigeria of now. Yeah. So Nigeria of tomorrow, so Nigeria you see tomorrow, something better. So like, where do you hope to see yourself within that Nigeria of tomorrow?
I don't see myself in a position of authority, but I see myself like acting as a source of impact towards the decisions made in the future.
All right. So, Garlic.
In the next 20 years, inshallah, I want to be an expert in the medical field in Nigeria. And I want to contribute plenty of things towards the development of Nigeria, which will improve Nigeria and make them more known.
Okay. All right. So, Sophia.
Okay. Next 20 years, I would like to see Nigeria as a very good country, even country even better than America.
Inshallah.
So,
sure.
My role there, I want to be a philanthropist. I'll be one of those factors that help eradicate poverty.
Okay, good, good. So, Aliyah.
I'd like to see Nigeria as an economically and financially independent country 20 years from now. And I'd like to be one of the youth helping Nigeria grow economically.
All right, good. Jazakumullah khair. All right, so that's wonderful. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make that Nigeria of your dreams a reality.
Ameen.
All right, so we'd like to appreciate all of you for coming. I'd like to appreciate your parents. I'd like to appreciate your teachers, the school authority, and everyone around who has actually made this possible. This is just to remind our listeners that, you know, by Monday, most likely, will be the start of Dhul Hijjah. So we have the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, the best days on earth, the best days in the year. So good deeds are, you know, most rewarded in these 10 days, better than any other set of days in the year. So we have the opportunity. Let us increase in our good deeds. We also pray for our Hujjaj, those on pilgrimage. May Allah accept their Hajj. For those that have left, may Allah make it easy. For those that are just about to leave, may Allah grant them journey mercies. And for those of us that are still at home, we are also looking forward to the Eid. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provide for all of us. Allahumma ameen. All right, on this note, this is just a reminder that you can listen again to this episode or other previous episode of Everyday Muslim on AirPark. -ng.org. Scroll down and click on the Empire Project to view Everyday Muslim Past uploaded episodes.